It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
Have you ever wondered the origin of the term rock chalk Jayhawk? Yeah, me either. But I'll tell you anyway. It emanates from a type of rock, a limestone to be exact, that is prevalent in the central part of Kansas. It was incorporated as part of a rousing team chant back in the 1880s, and well, it's best known as being loudly chanted at the Allen Fieldhouse, home of the Kansas Jayhawks. And when you see the Kansas Jayhawks in person, well, they have the stability of a rock. And tonight, they displayed a consummate brand of team basketball sprinkled by brilliant offensive performances. The final score was Kansas 71, UNOV 53. And in the second half, the Rebels came to life and showed signs of life, but it was too little too late. Just like that, the non-conference portion of the schedule has concluded, and UNOV will finish with a respectable record of 7-6. Welcome back, folks, to another edition of Rebel Extra, the post-game show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Running Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park, Legacy, and Durango Hills. OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas. Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal. Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds, if you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. Pizza My Dear with a smoking lunch deal. A 12-inch pizza for only $5. With two locations to serve you, go to pizzamydear.com. We come to you after every game this season, folks. If we want to hear from you, Las Vegas, don't be shy. Give us a call tonight, 364-1100, and be part of the action. Or you can text in your thoughts at 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN. Before I go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team. To my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, is producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado. He'll also be taking all of your calls at 364-1100. And to my right, I'm joined by the gentleman. You hear him every day with Cofield & Company, and that would be John Von Tobel, also known as JVT. JVT, we've seen Duke. We've seen Kansas. We've seen the preseason 1-3-5. The Rebels lost by a combined 87 points in those three games. Was that a good thing that the Rebels had these teams on their schedule?
Oh, I think so for sure, especially when you look at it big picture. Marvin Menzies is trying to build something, right? And if you get these guys to stick around year after year, you can look back, use these games as teaching tools, teaching opportunities, because you played these guys. And look at a game like this against Kansas. You've competed with them first half against Oregon. You competed with that team. Second half against Kansas, you competed with that team. So I think, yeah, big picture, this definitely helps this team going forward.
I want to believe that, especially if you look at a team like Kansas, and the same with Duke, but even I was even impressed more so with Kansas. Their guards, they're a little deceiving. They start four guards, but two of them are 6'8".
Yeah.
And this kid, Josh Jackson, out of Detroit, even though he went to high school in California, I don't think I've ever seen a better freshman. I am telling you, I guess he was the number one recruit overall, or number one ranked ESPN, whatever. There's nothing this kid can't do. He's tall, he's athletic, he's brilliant, he's got this drop step. I'm just throwing that out as an aside. But when you look at the other guards, Graham and Mason, the biggest difference between their guards and UNLV's guards, when Graham and Mason get into the lane, they're looking to make a play, they're looking to find somebody. When our guards get into the lane, they're looking to score, and that showed up big. And we're going to touch upon that tonight, the trouble UNLV got themselves into on offense, especially the first half, trying to force things that just simply weren't there.
Yeah, Mason is great at getting penetration and then finding the guy off the pass. He had 8 assists tonight, and it showed. You get penetration, you find a guy, and it's, like you said, it's not always going to score, because sometimes with UNLV's guards, you'll go to score, you'll find out you're getting stuffed, and then you get stuck, and you either travel or you turn it over, right?
Well said. And the first half was particularly difficult to watch with all the turnovers, but we're going to get to all that. This is a caller-driven show. The board is lighting up tonight as I expected it would, and so we certainly want to hear from you, Las Vegas. The callers are what make the show. So without further ado, let's go out to the phone lines. And we're joined by Brandon. Brandon, lead us off tonight on Rebel Extra. What are your thoughts, sir?
Hey, thanks, guys. I do have to say the second half was leaps and bounds better than the first half. but it's baby steps for this team that just shows us that they're getting better. I mean, we lost by, what, 50 to Duke? And that's a team that got beat by Kansas. And we made this a game late in the second half. But it's the same little things that UNLV – it's not talent. We have talent that people keep saying is our problem. Turnovers, miss – I think we missed – we left 18, 20 points out there in free throws. We have to make our free throws. We have to stop turning the ball over. And we can compete with almost anybody. But like I said, if you just look at Duke to now, I mean, that was a completely different team than we saw at T-Mobile Arena. And I think if we just keep this, you know, process, Terrell Green is amazing. And I think a lot of those were ticky-tack fouls called on him that he got in foul trouble. But I think Terrell Green, Jalen Poizer, I think those two together, and then Baxter as he progresses, I think this team could compete. I mean, I don't think we're going to win the Mountain West Conference, but we very well could get, you know, second, third, fourth seed in the Mountain West Conference tournament this year.
That's a lot of confidence. I like
that. Brandon, appreciate your checking in tonight. Merry Christmas, and your optimism is a thing to behold. Still don't know what this team looks like on the road. But I do agree the team does look different now than it did 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I think he hit on a key point, at least for me in this game, was the free throws, especially in the first half. I mean, free throws, period, were abysmal in this game. But, I mean, that deficit is a lot smaller if UNLV hits a good chunk of their free throws in the first half. They were running their offense. They were getting penetration. They were drawing fouls, and that's what they wanted to do.
Well, UNLV only 5 of 16 in the first half from the charity stripe, but Kansas didn't make their free throws either. Rebels only 1 for 12 in the first half from the three-point line, and that's a problem because that indicated to me there were far too many possessions, and there were when there wasn't a turnover, you got a shot, and it was a long bomb three with a Kansas player in your face. Kansas got the opening tip. They went down the floor. Graham makes a 12-footer. I counted 6 passes. I'm going, oh, man, this is going to be fun to watch tonight, even from a fan standpoint, because, yeah, I'm still a fan. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Steve. Steve, thanks for checking in tonight. I read a little extra. What are your thoughts?
You know, it was just interesting to me. I mean, that was a drubbing. We lost by 18. But that team did not quit. And I would take the effort from this team over the, you know, some of the teams we have with Dave Rice, where you get these great recruits, but they're just standing around shooting jays and just looking lost on offense. And I don't know if I've ever enjoyed an 18-point loss quite like that, driving away from the Thomas and Mack right now. But I don't think we're quite in the apocalypse that everybody thought we were going to be after that Duke loss.
I mean,
these guys are playing hard, and they were just overmatched. But I think we got some hope for the future, honestly.
Well, let's hope this carries over as they head into conference play. Thanks for your call tonight. Appreciate your insights.
I tweeted this out right before I came in, and it was essentially, you know, if you watch this game tonight and you weren't won over, then I don't know what's going to please you, because in the second half they did. When you're down by, I believe, was it 25 points at halftime? Was it 45?
It was 42-20.
42-20.
And it felt worse than that.
It felt exactly the way it went, and especially the way that Kansas was picking apart that zone. And the way that they came out, I believe, was a 15-5 run to open the second half. I mean, they played really well in the second half, and they didn't give up. And so if you're looking for, you know, there's lots of the fans who are like, show me something. I thought they showed you something today. They didn't give up, and they played with a lot of effort. It was an impressive second half.
Zion Morgan impressed me. He really battled Frank Mason in the second half. Chris Clyburn, his first double-double, he proves to be a continued high-energy player. Troy Baxter, and we're going to ask Mark Anderson about this. I hope he's not too hurt. He went down hard. Great to see Christian Jones back. He looked very good.
Yeah, he looked a lot more physical tonight than I thought he did against Duke when we saw him in the limited action.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tyrell Green, another very good game. So there are a lot of pluses to draw from. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Jose. Jose, thanks for checking in tonight at Rebel Extra.
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
Good, good. So I just left the game, so I was at the game, so I saw it firsthand. And
okay.
I mean, let's be honest. If you're a true Rebel, if you're a true basketball fan, then you know that we didn't have a chance at this game. You know what I mean? We weren't going to win the game. But if you were there tonight and you saw the game and you saw the way they played, there's a lot of things that they did wrong, but at the same time, they hustled. They actually played tonight. It was not the way they played against Duke, where they just looked starstruck and they were like, oh, my God, we're playing the Duke Blue Devils. Like, they actually came out and said, we're going to give something. Granted, they should have done a little more inside, which they didn't do, but they showed heart. They did not stop. They did not give up. And Claiborne is one of those players that you have to watch. He's going to get better. He's good. And all he has to do is just get a, he's a little raw. He's going to mature. But you know what? I like, even though we lost, it was a good loss. It's one of those losses where you can say UNLV actually came out and did not give up, and they played tonight. So it was a good game tonight.
All right. I appreciate the half glass half full perspective, Jose. I don't disagree with what he said.
Yeah, Claiborne, 10 points, 10 rebounds, 2 steals. And had a great one.
And yes.
One of the greatest rebounds I've seen him, at least this year, when he skies and he beats Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson fails to put a body on him, and he goes up and gets an offensive board. I mean, Claiborne had a really, really impressive game tonight, and it just goes back to the whole second half and just the effort that they put out there.
So the Rebels got on a floor with a team that could easily go to the Final Four and easily win the Big 12. Maybe not easily, but certainly win the Big 12. And you say to yourselves, well, let's break that down a little bit further, because Kansas really, to me, looked like a well-oiled machine, especially on offense. They move well without the ball. They're always looking to exploit a defensive mismatch or a defensive missed assignment or a play at our out position. They're always looking to make the extra pass. As I said, when Mason and Graham drive the lane, they're looking to make a play. They've got excellent shooters. They're extremely active. They're crashing the boards. Their guards crash the boards. But when you look at this, if you can really sort of create any dialogue you want, but it was 30-12, and the Rebels were settling for threes. They were out of sync offensively. Their spacing was poor, and they were turning the ball over. It was 30-12, 18-point deficit. The Rebels lost by 18. So did the Rebels play them head up, a team that could go to the Final Four for the final 32 minutes of the game? In a manner of speaking, you could say they did. The Rebels were only out-rebounded 45-40. They turned the ball over 13 times, meaning the Rebels, but Kansas turned it over 11. Both teams struggled from the charity stripe, and neither team was particularly effective from three-point land. Rebels 5-24 from three-point land. Kansas only 7-20. At the end of the game, obviously, Kansas, the Rebels weren't going to catch them. It was always going to be too little too late. I think when you listen to the observations the callers have made, what they saw is a team that may be coming of age just in time for conference to start. Now we're going to find out, right, when they go on the road.
With 5.5 minutes left, I think it was with 12-point deficit with 5.5 minutes left is what the Rebels closed it to.
They did
right?
get it to about, I've got it in my notes here somewhere. Yeah, they did get it to, I think it was 62-50 at one point.
Yes,
when they 64-52.
Yeah,
you're right. Chris Jones. Oh, that was one of their better offensive possessions. Mm-hmm. Chris Claiborne. They cut it. They were really showing life. Made a steal and got it to Chris Jones for a layup. And Bill Self was, can I say pissed on the air?
Yeah, you can say pissed.
Okay, he was pissed and he called timeout. Bill Self with 3:49 at 64-52. And you're right, John, it got to a 12-point deficit.
When it got down to 12, I sat up on the couch and I was like, okay. I'm like, they actually might. I kind of found myself thinking, like, are they really actually going to pull this off?
And, you know, it was a pretty good atmosphere at the Thomas and Mack tonight. I can tell you this, in the second half, the crowd was engaged, and you're hearing Rebels, Rebels. Band sounded great. Really, great halftime show. One of the things that I hope to see when conference play starts a week from Saturday is fan support at the Thomas and Mack. Any way you slice it, regardless of what the record's going to be, this is a great entertainment value. This is a basketball town. And it's been fun the first 6 weeks to see some of the things that have taken place. Gritty win over Southern Illinois. You got to see Duke. You got to see Grayson Allen, who, by the way, is suspended indefinitely on Ted Cruz's birthday. Yeah. Coincidence, John?
No. His illegitimate son? Not at all.
Only one down. You know, by the way, now, everybody calm down. JVT, the only downer news I have in the evening, no Georgi Slavonchin again. Your thoughts?
Did he not turn in a book report? I don't know. What did he do that he is
didn't
just
get off
drawn
the bench
the ire
tonight. Yeah.
Of Marvin Manning? I mean, granted, I don't think he was probably going to get out tonight. Marvin looked like he was going to really, especially when they started making their push in the second half, he was probably going to keep the better guys out there. Speaking of which, nonsensical observations, Uche cuts the hair. Plays a little bit better,
and,
huh?
And made a three.
Yeah.
broke the drought, and he was physical. And Uche played hard tonight.
He actually...
Sometimes...
I'm sorry. Just the steps in the lane. When he would change directions in the lane, he's really good at that, man.
He, you know, Uchi's got a good basketball body. He's got that senior body. He's got the type of guy. You're going to need him. The Rebels are going to need him. He's going to play a role. He came to town with a career 46% three-point shooting percentage. Let me try that again in English. Can I botch that any worse? He hasn't been able to match that, but I thought he did some good things tonight. And I will tell you, you look down the bench and say, who can they go into battle with? When you go into Colorado Springs next Wednesday, when you go into San Diego State and take on the show, or Nevada, name it. There's not an easy venue, in my view. Okay, maybe San Jose State, in the Mountain West Conference. And there are challenges. Ofebu is going to bring a kind of senior leadership, I think, that's needed. But I saw four guys I saw that really can play some D when they decide they want to. And one of them is Zion Morgan. Yes. I've seen it a couple times now. Morgan will battle you. He hung and stayed in front of Frank Mason. Chris Clyburn will D up, and he's all over the place. Troy Baxter shows to me he's got that four-star athleticism. He's an excellent defender. And Tyrell Green can defend when he wants to. If the Rebels can commit to defense, like I saw in stretches tonight in the second half, then hopefully some of the offensive wolves will maybe start to take care of themselves.
Yeah, and I think that kind of leads into the maybe one criticism you could have had of Marvin tonight. And the fact is, in the first half, you know, they were in that 2-3, I want to say most, if not the whole entire first half. And they were, Kansas was just tearing it apart, just working the foul line and going in from there. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
And
yep.
Eventually you would think, all right, let's get out of this, because especially in the second half when you watched them, they went all man in the second half, and they played much better defensively in the man set than they did in zone. And so I think, you know, like you said, if you can actually keep it up in the man, it's contagious. If you can keep it up in your man defense, I haven't liked what the Rebels have done so far when they played that zone. It's kind of passive, and they really seem to let the middle open up. And it's not just this game. It's been multiple games. If they can keep up their man defense, limit the dribble penetration, I mean, the sky's the limit for it. They have some decent offensive talent.
Let's not bury the lead. The Kansas Jayhawks, they start four guards, very talented ball players. And they put on a clinic in team basketball. Mm-hmm. They move extremely well without the ball. They set picks, screens. They box out. They rebound. They give themselves plenty of second chances. They're always looking for the open man. There's a reason they average 88 points. Mm-hmm. Tonight, they scored 71. Give a tip of the cap to the Rebels. They held the Kansas Jayhawks to 71 points, and UNLV's defense, I think, had something to do with that.
Yeah, and there were some mistakes on Kansas end, too. I mean, there was a big dunk that Johnson missed, you know, and like Kansas kind of shot themselves in the foot at times, but UNLV did do a good job. They were jumping on passing lanes. Jovan Mooring had a big steal at one point, even though he couldn't finish on the other end. I mean, defensively, the Rebels definitely settled down in the second half, and then obviously it's what led to their big resurgence and the ability to cut it to 12.
Unless, do I dare say, did Kansas take their foot off the gas in the second half? Did you see that? I don't know that I can say that.
I don't think so. I think it looks like Jackson made some, you know, head mistakes, some mental mistakes in the second half.
The freshman from Detroit, Josh Jackson, I still contend. I think he's the best freshman I've ever seen.
Physically, he's really cool to watch, man.
I think he's one. There were, by the way, there were NBA scouts just crawling.
Yeah,
all over the place. Were they there to see Georgie?
I mean, maybe there is a lot of buzz about him. I've been creating it on social media.
You're going to be his agent, John. I can feel it.
I've been trying. I don't know if he listens.
All right, he's John Von Tobel. I'm Bernie Fratto. The Rebels conclude non-conference play tonight, falling to the Kansas Jayhawks, 71-53. An excellent second half effort. We want to take more of your calls at 364-1100. It starts for real next Wednesday at Colorado State, but still then we've got a lot more show for you, and when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to catch up to Mark Anderson, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, get some of his thoughts and observations, and one of the things I want to know is, how is Troy Baxter? He went down hard, very hard. So don't go away, folks. Stick with us. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
We are back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, John Von Tobel, Bobby Machado producing tonight. Give us a call, 364-1100, or you can text 69187 and join in the action. By the way, before we go back out to the phone lines, Steve Cofield from the presser informs us that a couple things. First of all, apparently Dwayne Morgan is definitely out for a few more games. The biggest problem he's facing now was the hip from the offseason. And we saw that Troy Baxter went down very hard in the second half, and Steve indicates that Baxter got dinged up in the game with his knee and his back. So primarily the reason he didn't come in the remainder of the game, it was precautionary. So I got to presume, John, I guess hopefully Troy Baxter is available for
He's good to go, and which is a big sigh of relief, because when he was limping off the floor, I mean, you're thinking, wow, this is the last thing this team needs, especially in the front court. And Troy had been kind of coming into his own, especially offensively.
And by the way, before we get to Mark, the caller, which we will in just a second, the question I asked you before the break, again, Steve, taking us inside behind the press conference tonight, Bill Self, Kansas head coach, said, quote, he was really disappointed in the way Kansas played in the second half and felt like they let up. Lucas seemed to agree, confirming that a bunch of the Kansas players were heading out for the holidays right after the game. And Self also said he thought Mason and Graham played their worst games of the year. Well, I'll tell you what, if those are their worst games of the year, I would take that. Wouldn't you, JVT?
Oh, for sure. And isn't it fascinating?
My God, those guys are good players.
Isn't it great that we're sitting here like, great second half. It's a solid, just a solid jumping off point for UNLV. And Self's like, garbage game. They let up. Worst games by two of their guards. It just shows you where you're at.
It's all about perspective, isn't it? All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. And we are joined by Mark. Mark, you are up next on Rebel Extra. What are your thoughts tonight, sir?
Well, I got quite a few thoughts. You know, Bill Self, we both played at Oklahoma State. In fact, after my 3 years, he actually came in the next following year and wore my number. So I've been looking forward to this game for about 3 years.
Okay.
He wore my number. I figure he got my scholarship too. But, I just tell my son, that's an example of not really what you have, but how you use it. And congratulations to Bill Self and the amazing conference that he's done. But this game, buddy, we were at the game, my son and I. Let's move forward to the conference. Okay, so we lost the three big games by a total of 80-some points. So those are over with and done with. Like Marvin Menzies said, he didn't schedule them, but he's going to try to embrace them. So, okay, we say we have some improvement, but then now, Self, and it looks like maybe his guys were already on Christmas vacation with that 20-point lead at halftime. We don't know. So moving forward to the league, what do you guys expect?
Mark, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to hold that thought and call me back in a couple weeks after Rebels have two or three road games under their belt. And I'll tell you, it's a different animal playing on the road. The Rebels have been outside this building four times the entire year. At Portland, neutral Florida, Oregon, you saw what happened. At Arizona State, you saw what happened. At the T-Mobile, you saw what happened. And then, John, at Southern Utah, where the Rebels beat Todd Simon and the Thunderbirds, the Southern Utah Thunderbirds, by 8, and that was a win, but it was a tough win. These venues in the middle of winter at the Mountain West Conference features Colorado Springs, Laramie, the Air Force Academy, cold, tough to get to. Then you've got the show at San Diego State. You've got Nevada. That's going to be brutal. The Pit in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. These are not easy places to play. And so, Mark, hold that thought. I don't know what they're going to do in conference. And I know the Mountain West Conference, they're not a group of world beaters, let's be honest, although none of the teams are under 500. But conference always seems more daunting, John. There's more familiarity. Coaches know this team. They have us on film. And the bottom line is conference victories are tough to come by.
They are. I don't think, for me personally, I don't think 6 wins is out of the question for this team in conference. Because you also have to realize, too, what team are you going to get? How long is Dwayne Morgan going to be out? Dwayne eventually gets healthy. He's going to help this team out.
Like Steve, here's the thing. Yep. As Steve Colefield pointed out to us a minute ago, the injury is this lingering situation from his hip that's been a while now. So that leads me to believe it's going to be chronic.
Yeah, and that's what kept him out early in the year. And that was what was bugging him. I think that's what kept him out of the first game, correct? Was the hip.
Believe so. He had surgery. Some kind of surgery.
So it's going to be a lingering issue, and as it has already proven to be. But if Dwayne can come back and help this team out, they can make some noise in conference play. The conference is not amazing, as you said, not world beaters.
No, true. But The Rebels were 8-10 the last two seasons with six NBA players, so I'm going to withhold any sort of prediction with respect to conference until I see a couple of road games. But if you're going to put a gun to my head, I don't think we're going to be 500 in conference. I want to be fair and honest about that. You can hold my feet to the fire later. Let's go back out to the phone lines, and we are joined by Dave. Dave, you're up next on Rebel Extra. Thanks for checking in tonight, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What do you got, bud?
I watched the game. It is it's disheartening, I think. And you guys seem like you're encouraged by our performance. Am I not?
I didn't say that. I to set the record straight. As a matter of fact, keep Dave on the line. I was talking with our producer Bobby Machado. He's been around sports a time or two. And I said, you know, Bobby, I think there are people that are going to be optimistic about tonight because the Rebels only lost by 18 on their home floor. I said, has the bar that low? And he said, yep, it is. And so, Dave, you've got the floor. I wouldn't say I'm encouraged by the overall effort. I would say there were some bright spots. There were some things I think that need to be cleaned up. And if they're not, then conference could be a real struggle. But what are your thoughts? You've got the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the team from game one of this year to now. And, I mean, we can talk about improvements of certain players. I mean, that's great. But, I mean, say they improve going on to next year and the year after. Where are we going to be at that point? Even if they continue to improve, what are we going to be, fourth in the conference at that point?
Well, let's not look that far down the road, Dave. That's highly speculative. Coach Menzies will have a couple of new recruiting classes. I give Coach an A, if not an A+, when you consider he didn't get the job till April 15th. He's put together a roster on the floor, the 7-6 heading into non-conference. You'll take that. There are no expectations this year. Go ahead.
Can I get one last comment?
Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, I actually really like Marvin Menzies. I if you listen to him, he'll win you over like the second you listen to him. He's a great guy. And I hope he gets 5 years. I hope that. It's scary thinking with a new AD coming in. Sometimes they want to bring in their own coach. Who knows? But another comment I want to make is how many programs, I mean, we don't have a ton of money at UNLV. How many programs, and I hate going to the past, but now that we're here at this point, how many programs let go of a coach when we're getting a top 15 recruiting class and just seeing Kansas come in here with the athletes they had? We're seeing the athletes that we did have in the past few years. I think a lot of us are starting to think, like, wow, I can't believe we used to get players like that. And I know that's over now, and let's give it to Marvin. Like, please go on, make this program better. But I think suddenly we're realizing what we had. But
the results weren't there then either, Dave. I want you to stay engaged with us and call back when conference play starts. Thanks for checking in. John is look, Dave covered a lot of ground. I don't want to be dismissive of his viewpoint. Is he the voice of reason? Is he the pragmatic voice of reason? Or was he just a Debbie Downer there?
I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at the game. I mean, I thought there were encouraging signs, and I thought even when you watched the first half, there were spots where you actually saw that, especially on the offensive side, that in the half court, when they slowed things down, they got their looks. They just weren't hitting. Couldn't get your free throws. I mean, it's a different deficit at the halftime. But again, I mean, maybe I'm overly positive, right? Maybe I shouldn't be looking at it and getting the positive things I should be getting out of it. Maybe he's looking at the right way.
Trust your eyeballs. They tell you a lot. Yeah.
I do. I feel like there were encouraging things when you watch the game, especially in the second half, but a little bit in the first half where you could be like, look, they competed, especially in the second, and you can take good things out of an 18-point loss. I don't think it's just the number, right? It's not just like, oh, they only lost by 18. Cool. No, it's when you watch what happened on the court. And I think that's where he was kind of getting at. Like, oh, we lost by 18. That's a good thing. Well, no, when you watch the game and what happened, then you can pull good things out of it.
All right. Fair enough. All right. At this time, we're joined by the gentleman, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, who's been a fixture on the show. He was at the game tonight, of course. And that would be one Mark Anderson. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Before we get into the meat of some of the issues we want to talk about, Troy Baxter, Steve Cofield informed us that the reason he didn't come back in the game was more precautionary. What was the nature of his little injury, if there was one?
Well, he went down hard, and Menzies said after the game it was a combination of lower back and knee. but he didn't know how serious. And I noticed when they took Baxter to the locker room that he wasn't limping, so that was definitely a good sign. So it might have been, you know, he goes down hard, the game's basically over. You know, you might as well go ahead and get him back there and start getting some treatment.
So, Mark, we were talking about positives and negatives in this game. For you, were there anything positive, or was there anything positive, excuse me, that you can take out of this game, or do you think Kansas took the foot off the pedal, not really a lot you can take from it?
Well, you know, two things can be true at one time. I mean, there's no doubt that Kansas took its foot off the gas. But at the same time, you know, we also had to take advantage of that, and that was big. The Rebels played really hard, and they could have done the same thing. They could, you know, 3 days before Christmas, they could have kind of done the same thing. And I'm sure a lot of the players have their own vacation plans, you know. So, but they didn't. They came out here and played hard. It wasn't a repeat of the Duke game where they were just blasted throughout. They came out and showed a lot of fight, and I think there's stuff they can take forward into conference play from this. Conference play won't be easy, but I do think there's some things they can take from this.
So the Rebels, now that the history books have been written for the non-conference portion, will have played the preseason number 1, 3, and 5, although they lost all three by a total of 87 points. Was it a good thing that the Rebels had Kansas, Duke, and Oregon on their schedule? Did they benefit from that, Mark, or not?
I think overall it probably wasn't a good thing. I don't think it's the worst thing to put those three teams on the schedule in one season. I just think they were too bunched together. But having said that, you could see real improvement from one game to the next. I mean, the Duke game was just a total catastrophe for them. I don't know anything positive you can take out of that game. But the Oregon game, you know, they played them to within 4 points in the first half. This game, they outplayed them Kansas in the second half. So you could see strides made from one game to the next, and the fact that, you know, he found himself in a position like Duke where they were down big at the halftime and didn't have that deer in the headlights looks like they had in that game. I think that shows what they've done in just a short time.
Did Marvin mention it all in the post game about the first half defense? Because I thought obviously the 2-3 wasn't really doing anything, and he stuck with it all the way through the end. And obviously in the second half, the man seemed to be working better. Was there a reason why he just stuck through the half and didn't decide to get out of it early?
No, he didn't really go into that. I'm guessing with their matchup problems with the 2-6-8 guards, they felt like they needed to kind of bench inside to crash the boards. But he actually wasn't asked that at the postgame news conference. I don't really have insight for you on that.
Catching up with Mark Anderson, beat writer of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Rebels fall the night at home, final non-conference game to Kansas, 71-53. Mark, we found out yesterday that Christian Jones was cleared to play tonight, 8.7 rebounds. I thought he looked pretty good. How's his health going forward?
He said he felt fine, and I think that was important getting him out there. He played 27 minutes, and I didn't expect him to play that many minutes. I thought it would be, you know, more of the 12, 14-minute range. You just get him out there, just get some work in. But the fact that he played so long, I think they must have felt pretty good that he could take it. And you know, he was, like you said, he was productive. And remember when he came back after a little bit of layoff against Duke, he couldn't do anything in that game. So he was clearly much better shape this time. And you know, I got to think, you know, I didn't ask Menzies about this. No one did because you know, right after the game, it wouldn't make sense. But I think once he's had a chance to sort of digest this, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Menzies decides next 2 or 3 days that Jones has got to go back in the lineup because I think he just gives him too much up front right now.
What do you think of Menzies' performance, Mark? Because I think he deserves a lot of credit for actually getting them out of this funk at halftime and getting them to compete.
Yeah, oh yeah, he could have lost the team at halftime. He really could have. I mean, you know, it's also got to be the players. You know, it almost doesn't matter what the coach says if the players don't believe it. That it doesn't matter. So there's something inside the players that told them just to keep fighting, and so you know it's very encouraging. We've seen that except for the Duke game, we've seen that all season, where you know we've seen it in tight games too, where they have a confidence about them, they can make plays down the stretch, and I think that's important as well going into conference play.
There were some things, Mark, tonight though that I observed that make my teeth itch still. One point, the score was 54-40. Jalen Poizier got the ball at the top of the key, and he said, hell with it. He bulls his way into traffic, doesn't look, loses the ball. A scrappy Chris Clyburn comes up with a loose ball, somehow finds it and gets it to Christian Jones for a three, and that's their offense. I still didn't see a lot of good spacing. And the biggest difference between Kansas's guards, Mason and Graham, when they get into the lane, they're looking for options. They're looking for an open man. When Poyser and Morin get into the lane, they're going to score. Damn the torpedoes, no matter if they're triple teamed or not. If you've got two players on you, if a player has two or three players collapsing on them, then somebody is open. They're 13 games in. Can that get corrected?
I don't know. You know, and that's something that's going to be tough to overcome with in conference play. Because, you know, it's, you know, other coaches are going to try to exploit that because they see the video too. And they know that you know these struggles at the point. And so it's going to be – I think it's just going to be a season-long problem. I think if you're a point guard or you're not, you know. It's you can kind of work around it a little bit and try to minimize things a little bit. But, I mean, it's clear that Poyser and Morin aren't natural point guards. And it's – you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you need a point guard. And the guy, they do have a point guard, but he's having to sit out this season after transferring.
And even if you're not a natural point guard, irrespective of position, it's all about making good decisions. Morin checked in at 15:58, and I wrote down on my notes how long before he takes his first shot. Took a couple minutes, but he took back-to-back threes. One was from the corner of Trop and Koval. I'm just going to hit my shot no matter what. No matter what, watch out. Here it comes. One of his threes was so long, it came out about 17 feet right into Christian Jones' hands. He was wide open and drained a shot. I'm like, what? Okay, fair enough. I don't want to turn this into a bitch fest.
I think it's going to be a season-long thing, and I don't disagree with anything you're saying. You're right. Those are things that are correctable. You can teach them better shot selection. You know, there's some, like I said, you can minimize some of the negatives, but in the long run, there's a limited number of things you can do. Do you actually get a true point guard out there?
Final question for you, Mark, before we let you get to your holidays. Really appreciate having you on this year. 6 weeks, the Rebels are 6 weeks into the season. 13 games. What do you know now about this team that you didn't know on November 1st?
I didn't know how much, if at all, this team would improve. I think we saw with last season's team, which was loaded with individual talent, that there was no real improvement, throughout the season. It was just sometimes some games they showed up, some games they didn't. This team, I feel like, is going to play hard every game. And I do think that they do listen to the coaching. I've been impressed with the coaching. I mean, no one's kidding themselves to think this is an elite team. But whether you're an elite team or not, those are things that you can be responsible for. And so I think it bodes well in the grand scheme of things when you think about where this program ultimately wants to get back to. That if they can keep getting these kind of kids on the roster who are coachable. Obviously, better talented players, more talented players, but coachable. Then I think that's a good sign for the future.
Mark, thanks so much for coming on tonight. Merry Christmas, best to you and your family. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off. You'll be on a plane to Colorado Springs Tuesday, and we'll definitely want to catch up with you on Wednesday after the Rebels play their first conference game against one Larry Stacey.
That sounds good. I appreciate having me on. You have a great holiday season, all of you.
Okay, thank you. It's Mark Anderson, beat writer of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. JVT, before we go to our final break, I'd like to ask you the same question, and I'll answer my own question as well. What do you know now about the UNLV Runner Rebels circa 2016-2017 that you didn't know on November 1st?
I liked Mark's thing, which is just essentially is I didn't know that they would be this much of a scrappy squad, right? They wouldn't give up no matter what the opponent was. I mean, they seemed to be able, outside of the Duke game, to be able to stay at least within the competitive nature of the game. And I'll throw this one in there as well. I didn't know that Tyrell Green was probably the best player on this team. I think you can make the argument that he is. I mean, Jalen's kind of fallen off a little bit these last few games. He's shown that he can score inside, he can score outside, he can rebound, and his defense is improving little by little. But I didn't know Tyrell would be the best player.
12.7 rebounds tonight. Would it be fair to say, if there was such a thing as the MVP after 13 games, would Tyrell Green be your MVP?
He'd be in there.
Behind Georgie, of course.
Yeah, behind Georgie. But I think, I mean, I know Dwayne's been missing games with injuries, but there were a couple of games like Southern Utah, for example. I don't think they win that game without his presence there, right? I mean, he was an awesome presence.
Dwayne Morgan
in that
had
game.
A very good game against Southern Utah. But Dwayne Morgan's going to be that energy guy.
He's one of their
best.
He's
not going to be a stats guy.
Yeah, he's a good defensive guy.
And as long as he can stay on the floor, not commit three dumb fouls in 6 minutes, which causes me to lose my mind. Then Dwayne Morgan can be a key cog because he's extreme. Morgan may be the best pure athlete on the team in terms of a run and jump guy. Plus, he's a junior. He's got a lot of experience, right? But your point taken about Terrell Green. We're going to take our final break of the evening. When we come back, we'll wrap it up, look ahead to Colorado State. But I will also answer my own question. And what did I know about this team? Or excuse me. What do I know about this team now that I didn't know 6 weeks ago? He's John Von Tobel. I'm Bernie Fratto. Bobby Machado producing. Rebels fall tonight to the Kansas Rock Chalk Jayhawks, 71-53. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. And more of your calls, if you like, at 364-1100. So stick and stay. Don't go away. You are listening to Rebel Extra.
Now, back to Rebel Extra on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, John Von Tobel, Bobby Machado producing. Still time to call 364-1100 or text 69187 and join in the action. Preface your text with ESPN. JVT, before the break, I asked you a question. As I asked Mark Anderson, what do we know about the Rebels that we didn't know 6 weeks ago? And I think the answer for me is simple. The Rebels have better athletes than I thought when Coach Menzies was putting this team together. And you'd hear the names. Obviously, Tyrell Green is back, but he was only in 7-8 games last year.
Yep.
As you said, very prolific, been a great scorer, hit some clutch shots, can shoot threes, can do a lot of things.
Yeah, and he actually helped his own athleticism by losing 25 pounds in the offseason and actually just really working on his body and his cardio.
Chetan Dembele didn't have his first start till 3 or 4 games ago. Had only 33 minutes. His first 9 games of the season showed me a lot. Scrappy, dives on the floor, looking to block shots, looking to get every rebound. Tonight he caught the ball in the low post, turned it a drop step, and cowered because it was Kansas. Mm. He's not confident yet, but I will tell you, I think the kid's got great potential.
Oh, great potential. And if you're looking 3 years down the road, you're hoping he's still here, and he's probably going to be a key piece on that team.
Chris Clyburn, maybe the best lane runner on the team, constantly active, hands, plays defense, looking for steals, not afraid to go to the hole. He's fairly fearless, good Detroit kid. 10 points, 10 rebounds tonight, can contribute in a lot of ways.
Yep, and he can, especially defensively, you can put him on essentially a team's biggest threat. He can guard what looks like 1-4. He's a really rangy kid.
Jalen Poizer's had a couple of tough games, 10.6 rebounds tonight, but has proven to me that he is a legitimate scorer. I think there are going to be some big games Jalen Poizer will have this year. He's got a knack for scoring. When his threes are dropping, everything looks much better. That wasn't the case tonight. But be that as it may, Jalen Poizer is a kid you can count on who wants the ball.
Yeah, best pure shooter on the team, I think.
Zion Morgan, the freshman from Chicago, an excellent defender, very good athlete, just needs experience.
Yep. Scrappy too, man. And there was one move he had in the lane on Mason offensively where I think he spun off of him and put a shot up. He missed the shot, but it was such a silky smooth move, man.
Jovan Mooring.
Yep.
If this kid can get over his shyness, he's going to be all right. He needs to be more assertive with the ball. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, assertive with the ball.
#sarcasm. Yeah, never mind. Sometimes it doesn't
assertive. How about a more selective on those shots?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Troy Baxter Jr., 4-star player out of Tallahassee, Florida. A superb athlete, an excellent athlete. He rang with those Kansas kids tonight. I like to watch away from the ball. I watch when players, are they moving? Are they boxing out? Are they looking to get a rebound? Is there an awareness? Is there an anticipation when you go on offense, when you transition back to defense? Baxter's got a lot of that.
I think he's got a lot of Derrick Jones potential, wherein Derrick Jones kind of came on late, and he had those 3 consecutive games when conference play started, or 20 points, 20 points, 20 points, or when Todd Simon took over, excuse me. I think he's got that potential.
And last but not least, the man who had 3 threes in 1 game.
Georgi Slavonchinen.
John, your thoughts?
Clearly the one with the highest ceiling, and clearly the cornerstone of this program 2 years down the road. I mean, he's probably conference player of the year, I want to say, his junior season.
Scott Boras has nothing on you. I'm going to read someday about Georgi Slavonchinen signing with somebody.
Yeah.
And agent John Von Tobel negotiating the biggest contract in the history of – is he Czechoslovakian? What is the young man's
– we'll have to work on that. I don't know yet.
I like him too.
Yeah.
And sure. I think your point in all seriousness, about being a guy who can be a factor a couple, 3 years down the road will play itself out. That's going to do for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado and John Von Tobel, I'm Bernie Fratto. Bidding you good night. Next up for the Run of Rebels, conference play Wednesday at Colorado Springs and Larry Eustacey. 8 o'clock tip-off next Wednesday night, December 28th. In the meantime, tonight's final score, Kansas Jayhawks 71, UNLV Running Rebels 53. Folks, the Rebels will end non-conference play with a 7-6 record. We look forward to conference play. But in the meantime, I want to wish everybody Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Thanks for listening. Good night, folks. Drive safely and go Rebels.